He is available. Somebody needs to hear that. You don't need to wait until somebody can pray for you. God is available any time. If you thirst, let them come. Let's read in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, and it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When others will not forgive and let go of things that are seemingly holding them captive from being happy, God is readily available and wanting to help you." Brother, there's been people that I've tried to pray for before that you would just say, "Well, just stand up, brother." "Yeah, what are you praying?" "Well, you ask me." "Say, what are you praying for?" "Well, brother, I've just been going through this thing, and you just don't know how bad it's been, and I just don't think I'm going to make it, and I'm just ready to let go and give up on life, and every sentence that comes out of them, it just keeps getting worse because there's a presence in them that has been harping on them day after day. My Lord and my God, I feel this. If I've ever failed anything, we're teaching in here tonight. If somebody comes up to you and they begin to only have any just things that are negative in what they're speaking, you need to put a halt to it. You need to tell them that we're going to pray and that it's time that you let go of this way of thinking. If you're not going to change the way you think, God can't change a thing in you. We have to surrender our thoughts to God before He can ever move in anything in our life. You can be seated, brother. Because here's the scary thing. There are people that come up and get prayed for and literally will shake themselves to make others feel like all is well. But as they go out, my friend, there's still sin inside. Until we are in a place where righteousness is what is leading us, then when we are supposed to step up and say something that is truthful and a set free kind of word, we don't have it. And they go right back out the same way they came in. God's anointing is not short. That means if they come to be delivered, then He is more than able to deliver them, right? But if we're coming to God with a half-hearted surrender, I feel that right now. God's speaking to somebody, Odiva. We cannot continue to come up and half-heartedly say, "Lord, I know that You're able." And we feel good inside for a little bit, but then go back out with the same thinking we had before. And I know that it's hard when we stand in the gap for people because what they do will betray your faith. And I know that it's hard to believe that things are going to move in things that feel impossible. And if we continue to live in thinking that it's impossible, we'll never learn to think in our mind that it is possible. But if we won't come up in our heart and say, "God, even though I know that it's possible, but there's a part of me that's still struggling, and I need You to help me." Until we surrender that part of us that says that I'm struggling, "My God, I feel this under the anointing of the Holy Ghost." We'll come in and shout and clap hands and look happy, but we're not giving the part of us away that is struggling with something. And when we really need to show and shine, we don't have anything to say or anything to do because we're not letting go of what God is really trying to get down inside of and to help you learn to be different. And as you continue to live this way, you will act as a child instead of an adult. And as we continue to only but quench a part of it and then try to let the other part out, there's a bit of confusion in how our lives are led. One day we're good, one day we're not. One day we're down on our knees, another day we're telling off our neighbor. One day we're good, the next day we're tweeting about how mad somebody made us. I know we may not have very many tweeters in here, but it's true. Maybe that's for somebody on the radio down the road. I don't know. There are people that start stuff on Facebook that's totally untrue. But if you're not already operating in overflow, you know what? It's going to get to you. There are going to be children, and I'm here to tell you, as a teenager, I was one of the worst, rebellious, smart-aleck children I ever met. My poor mother, I don't know. My dad, I don't know how they endured. If you ever wanted to know if they've ever been through anything, they've been through me. They've got a reason to praise Him. I was one of the most unruly children I know. But Robin, no matter how unruly they act, it does not trump God's hand. It does not trump what God can do. So here's what I'm trying to get us to. When you surrender what you're struggling with, God begins to change the way you think about the situation. He begins to take your struggle, and when you say, I cannot do it, and the Spirit of God out of you begins to change the speech inside of you to be what? Something good. I'm here to tell you, I don't have a rule book on this, but it's not okay to speak death over yourself every day. It's not okay. You've got to stop telling yourself, I can't do it. The Spirit of God is there to help refresh. He said, by the renewing of your mind, right? He comes to renew what is weary and cause your speech to change into something that is good, that which is holy and acceptable to Him. It is readily available for you at any time. I know some of us get embarrassed with altar calls. We don't want people to see that we ever go through anything. But you better be careful to wait too long before you get to an altar. Because if you never go up and ever get help, you're going to lead people to think you've got it all together. And something will happen one day that will be something out of your character. And they'll think, well, I thought they were doing good. Well, they were coming to church. And, well, I saw them tithing in the plate. And they were backing me up singing too. Because here's the deal. Pride causes a false perception. And if we never come in and receive help to humble us, if we never show ourselves as that we struggle with things, then people aren't going to feel like they even need to help you. Because here's the deal. I'm number one in line. I struggle every day. Can I get this across to you tonight? I struggle every day with things that would tell me to quit preaching. I struggle with things every day that would tell me the Word of God is not important. Who am I talking to tonight? You're not the only one that ever hears that voice in your head that tells you it's not worth it. You're not the only one that ever hears discouragement that tells you you're not able. You're not the only one that has ever been tempted to give in to your previous comforts. You're not the only one that has ever cried late at night, feeling like that nobody understands. You're not the only one that has ever been through something that seemingly had no end. And if I were not that way, I wouldn't deserve to be here. You're not the only one that struggles. Look over and tell your neighbor to make sure they know that they're not the only one that struggles. And now that we've made sure we have consoled one another, I want you to tell them something else. We got to do something about this. Make sure you mean it when you tell them. Don't just play around. Look over and tell them, we've got to do something about this. If you care about your young people, you're going to do something about it. If you care about who's sitting next to you, you're going to do something about it. If you want your church to prosper and be in great number and in great obedience, you've got to start doing something about it. You can't wait till it gets to an attendance of 1,000 to praise Him like 1,000's in the room. He wants you to be there, and that's number one, saying, I know it's home. My God, I feel Him. I'm preaching to a million tonight. You're crazy, Jared. I am. God's reaching through my ministry like I have never thought He could do before. We have what they call analytics on our website and the sermons that are out there. There are people that are listening to this preaching you're hearing tonight in other countries now. There are people that are listening to the Word of God. There are people that are inviting me to try to go to other countries. They're wanting people that will come and preach the truth. They're wanting people that show that Jesus is alive. When I pour my favorite bowl of cereal, well, what is that, brother? You may need this for Jared trivia one day. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. My God, I could eat that cereal all day long. And when I pour a bowl, I don't pour the serving size of 1/3 cup. I don't get my measuring cup out and say, all right, that's all I can have. I perceive the size of the bowl, and I start eyeballing, okay, how much do I think I can get in here that by the time the milk comes in that I don't spill it? How much do you think that you can do in the house of God? I just feel like, woo! How much do you think that you're willing to do? Oh, before the beginning of overflow. There's so many of us that need an overflow tonight. My God, if you've got to get home, you get home. But I'm not worried about your time tonight. If you want to learn how to grow up, you've got to have some overflow. If you're not letting the Holy Ghost shake you up, stir you up, and cause something to come out of you, then you need more to do what you need to do in this walk of life. The disciples didn't get to the point where the cloven tongues of fire were beginning to happen and say, whoa. We've got a good preacher here tonight. Brother, you need to calm it down. He's not going to have enough time. My Lord and my God. Better help me preach. I'll go get amen number two. Overflow begins to happen in services. And instead of embracing, you know what happens? We are non-receptive. You begin to feel the power of God even come out in your praises and change your speech. And you hold it in. I'm talking to somebody. You've got to turn it loose and let evidence be shown that it's inside of you. Well, I've been saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, my God, if you were, why am I up here all the time? My Lord and my God, I've been redeemed. I'm a child of God. I've got what it takes to get through the storm. Well, where are you when it's raining in somebody's life? My Lord and my God, I'm a Christian. I walk by the Word of God. Well, what do you say to somebody that's doing things in the world that they shouldn't be doing? Is this too hard? Should we back off? Whoa, brother. Whoa. We can't be having this in our church. If they need the Holy Ghost, we'll take them over here and pray for them. But there are paying, tithing people that want to hear that preacher. So you better not get in their way. I don't need their money. We don't need that kind of tithing to do the will of God. Jesus didn't already have $65 million in the bank when he went out to the shores and said, come. I'm going to make you fisher of men. Because if it was contingent on wealth and title and experience, he wouldn't have been walking the seashore, Sharon. So you know what that makes me glad for? That when he found me, when he found you in a dumpster, when all would have thrown you away, the ministry of crisis, come on, we're going to go do something. Let's go on. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Here's the good thing about it. And you that would have no money, come on. Buy and eat. What are you talking about? How can I buy something if I don't have the currency? If Jesus already paid for it, then all you've got to do is claim it. How many of you remember layaway? It's not as popular as it used to be. But I could remember my parents going to Kmart when Kmart was around. I was so excited about a Nintendo, man. I could taste the plastic controller in my mouth. I could not wait to get that video game. And every time they go to Kmart, I'd think to myself, this is the day we're going to get it. But not yet. Had to pay a little bit more. I think they may have been doing it to just stall getting it. I'm not sure. I told you, it was a struggle for them. If you ever wondered what their testimony is, now you know. God don't work on layaway. It's already yours. He said, come and buy. Oh, God. Oh, I feel it. I know you think I'm crazy, but I'm walking into the storehouse and I'm getting off the shelf exactly what I need. I'm not going to wait until I do everything right. I'm not going to wait till I'm a member of every single committee of the church before I start claiming what is mine. Jesus already paid for it and said, all you've got to do is reach out and claim it because it's my God. I'm claiming it right now. Healing in the name of Jesus. Deliverance in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. How many of you unfortunately have a credit card in your life? God don't charge no APR. How many of you currently paying a mortgage? By the time you actually pay for your house, most of the time you will have already paid for two. So I'm thinking, Sharon, when I get to the end of it, I'm hoping another house just pops up and, well, that's mine too. Well, bless God, I've got another house to live. It don't work like that. And let me tell you, the devil, I like to think of him as the debt collector. He's the one that hunts you down and anybody in your family to say, hey, they owe me something. He'll send by your friends of yesterday to be like, hey, why don't you come and have a beer with me? He'll send the collector of sin your way and try to tempt you to fail. But you need to remind the devil every single day of your life that everything is already paid for. It's already paid for. So when you get up, you might have thought maybe before today that it was unfathomable to start asking for things that you didn't feel like you deserve. But look over at somebody and tell them, you can, it's paid for. Young people, good grades, it's paid for. Just make the effort. He'll take care of you the rest of the way. Growing up adults, if you need wisdom, claim it. It's paid for. It's yours. Adults, grown-ups in the house of God, healing, claim it. It's yours. It's paid for. Now, can I just add a little more to that right there? Callings, it's paid for. Claim it and do it. The gifts and callings of God are what? Without repentance. Think about it like this. Without the ability to return them. I can't just take my Bible to my godly Walmart in the spirit and be like, you know what? I'm good. I tried it out. It's just not for me. I've seen people take gallons of milk back to the store. I've seen people take half-eaten bread back and say they're not satisfied. But you can't just start out in a calling that God has meant for you to do and just decide, oh, nope, it's not for me, I'm good. Because here's what happens. Every day that you were meant to blossom and grow, you have stunted your growth from that very point. There are some places, and I would hope that it would be different, but Odiva, I know that it's not. There'll be some churches that I'm going to go to in the future this summer when our schedule gets going again. When I go, I know that they're going to probably be the same way they were the last time I saw them last year. Complaining about the same things. Unhappy about the same stuff. You find it hard to walk up to somebody these days and be like, how you doing? And get anything good. It's almost made us afraid to say, how you doing, right? Sometimes that's a trap you don't want to get in. Revelation 22, verse 17. If you don't want to go there, I'll read it to you right now. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Are you ready for this? If the water of life is free, then we as a church can't put a price on it. You can't wait till somebody's doing everything you think they should be doing before you start supporting them. We don't want it, but I'm giving it anyway. If you're going to wait until somebody sings it the way that you like it before you're going to worship the Lord, if you're going to wait until that preacher gets him right where you can be like, it's tight, but it's right, preach it, brother. If you're going to wait until it favors your preference, here's your reality. You're going to starve. Some of the most amazing blessings came in the most unconventional of ways. There's been church services I've been to that were totally dead to the very end. And then somebody finally stood up, Gary, and you could hear it in their voice. Even if they could only just say, I thank God. And everything else that had been just fleshly and motions and tradition was broken. And I'm here to tell you there is not an assembly that God ever brings together where he's going to let that happen. And if the whole church lets that person down, listen, he'll send somebody to them. He didn't call ministers to make it impossible for people to be Christians. He didn't call teachers to teach it in such a way that people never feel like they could accomplish it. He didn't call praise teams to make people feel like they could never worship good enough to enter in the presence of God. We're all different, right? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you're not like me? Somebody ought to shout on that. Aren't you glad you're not like me? If there was more than one of me, we'd be in trouble. You'd be here 4 hours. You'd been the guy that fell out the window. They had to carry back in and sit back down. I know it's hard to see that this is free all the time because the devil wants you to think about all the things that you do not deserve, but it's already paid for. I don't wake up tomorrow and say I am not delivered from drugs. I wake up today and tomorrow and know that I'm paid for. His redemption is eternal. That means it never leaves you. And that means if it is with you, then the devil can't change your mind. And don't you dare let him, because he's given you more than enough to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. You have to know and learn and understand that If it was meant for you to suffer and be unhappy, let me tell you what you wouldn't have. You wouldn't have the anointing. If it was meant for you to suffer and be unhappy, let me tell you what you wouldn't have. You wouldn't have a Bible to be able to read. If it was meant for you to suffer and be unhappy, Christ would have never come to save your soul. But since all of these things have come and our redemption is paid for, then we as a body must learn to claim it. You know, some of the biggest money in America during tax season is not the money that people get. You know what it is? The unclaimed money. There are people that don't even realize they have a refund. And if the government can't get it to you, you know what? They'll take that for themselves. H&R Block's advertising campaign was all of this money that could be yours if you just go to their company and get it. But I'm glad the Spirit of God's even better than that. His storehouse is much bigger than H&R Block. I wouldn't buy in their stock, especially during non-tax season. Little stock advice for you. God's storehouse is infinite. It created heaven and earth. It has supplied the air we breathe, the food we eat, the knowledge we even have today. But there are things we've not even yet claimed that are ours. Are you ready for this? There's anointings that we have not reached yet. There are deeper depths we've not even got to. And even at our best, Mitchell, we're only scratching the surface. We're only making a dent and getting a little bit of a peephole into what it could be. But it's not so far away that you're not able to get there, because it's already paid for. It's yours to claim. It is lying in wait for you to simply believe. He said, whatsoever you desire in your heart when you pray, believe. You know what that does? It breaks the surface. When the surface is broken, you're able to perceive hope. I have hope in Christ, do you? Without him, we could not have hope. We want so many things. In fact, if we tried to write on every piece of a wall, ceiling, and floor of what we wanted, just this group of people, we would have to write all over the inside and the outside. But let me tell you something else. If we had to write down all the things we've done wrong this week, there wouldn't be enough room in 18 of these buildings to write it all down. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. You know what that means? Your best is only at the bottom of what your potential can be. There are things that we have not yet claimed. Look over at somebody and tell them, there's more to this. I have grown in the last 3 years, and no offense to anywhere that I attended when I was younger, because it wasn't their fault, it was mine. I have grew more in these last 3 years than I had the past 27 that I could even have a mind to comprehend. You know why? Because the part of me that I never wanted to let go, I'm realizing that's the part God wants from me. And the more that I give him of myself what I don't want to let go, then he replaces in me something that will sustain me. My ministry has not grown. I have not grown to be this bold and crazy guy from just continuing to do it. Continuing to do it will let you feel comfortable when you do it. But only when you give up what hinders you, then you can be stronger. Does anybody in here have any kind of unresolved anger issues? Of course nobody's going to say, yeah, that's me, brother. Does anybody have any kind of unresolved hatred for things? Bitterness, lack of understanding, confusion, fear over something? We all do. But how many can we find that's willing to say, anything that's my worst, I'm still willing to let it go? Because if I handed you a bag of nails and told you that at the bottom of it was a check for $1 million, you'd be pretty willing to try to get your hand through there to get it, right? But being a Christian isn't a bag of nails. He said his yoke was easy. So if the anointing of the Holy Ghost says, just obey me, get past yourself, which is what I see as the nails, and dig into a deeper blessing, it's not so hard to do. There's room for everyone. That's what I'm reading. That means that no matter what people have made you feel like, that there's room for you. Scoot over, Ross, to make room for me. There is not a single person that I have looked at tonight that has the ability to hear what I'm saying that is being hindered from coming to Christ. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. There is nothing, that's what we're reading about tonight, there is nothing that is keeping you away. Nothing. The pathway to Christ is open. But for someone that knows Christ, how many of you know that it's not a bed of roses all the time? Because as soon as you know Christ, the devil wants to get you back to where you were before you ever knew him. And that's when supernatural things come to attack you, destroy you, aggravate you, upset you, keep you from being focused and doing God's will. Ultimately, my prayer is to God, Lord, whatever it is that would keep me from willingly coming with a love for it, take it from me. And some of you need to just pray that this week. Whatever this is that is keeping me from enjoying my life, take it, Lord. Whatever this is that's aggravating me, causing me strife and anger, take it, God. Because you can come up and shout and speak in tongues and dance all you want, but until you give up that part of you that nobody else understands, then you're not really going to grow into an adult out of a babe of Christ. There's a lot of people, Doris, that have been coming, and some of them didn't come back. You know why? They didn't get their milk. There are people that only will want the milk and go places and get satisfied and filled on that. But let me tell you, have you ever seen children that were on milk too long? They have no muscle. They have no definition. This part is fat right here. Don't look here. Look here. Muscle. They have no muscle. They have no muscle definition because without muscles, you can't lift anything. Without muscles, you can't get up and even go around and walk. Do you know it requires 23 muscles to smile? Did you know it even costs more muscles to frown? So you might think smiling's harder, but actually it's easier. Might as well just do that and save your other muscles for when you need it. For when you're in an awkward moment, then you can frown. Raise the eyebrow. Save that for when it matters. Let's read a couple other scriptures and we'll close tonight. John chapter 6, verse 37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." You just have to give me a minute. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. This verse was wrote for me. Can I read it again? "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I am here because he didn't throw me away. I am here because he did not let me go." How many of you have ever felt like you didn't deserve to be where you are? I don't deserve where I live. I don't deserve what I drive. I've not done enough good in this world to be called anything good. And you'll find, friends, that titles don't mean anything. What people will call you won't mean a thing when it comes to you going through something. And when we put our trust in something bigger than our title, bigger than what we've done in life, then we'll realize that we could never be far enough away from God that he would ever let us go. There's a promise in his scripture, Jack, that says he never leaves us nor forsakes us. I'm not going to let you go week after week and ever feel alone. You hear me? Because you're not. Touch three people and say, you're not alone. We're getting out of this frame of thinking. We've lived in it long enough. You're not by yourself. There are people all around you right now that go through things just like you do. But the great thing is that God paid for all of it through Christ for all of us. And if anybody would come, he said, I would not turn you away. So that means if you're obeying him, he's not going to turn you away. If you get down to pray, he's not going to say, I don't have time for your prayer right now. Go ahead and try to pray, Brother Derek.
Dear Lord, help me.
Sorry. Go ahead, Brother. How many of you have ever faked sleep to not do something before? There's been some times where my wonderful lady, Angela, asked me to go get something, and then I try to just not move and not say anything long enough, and maybe she'll think I'm asleep and I don't have to go down and get it. But then all of a sudden she's like, you're not asleep. It's like, I know. I'm going. It's funny, right? But what about when the Spirit is trying to talk to us, teach us about how we can be a better person? And we just try to pretend like we don't even hear what he's saying. Do you know what happens to people that hear him and turn him away? You know what? You're disgracing God. And when we disgrace him, we are properly represented as a disgrace. You know how? We suffer without him. It is not meant for you to perish, but to have life and it more abundantly. One more passage tonight and we'll come to a close. Luke chapter 14 and verse 17 says, "And sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." We do not have to wait any longer to receive Christ. We do not have to wait until we are older or until we feel like we're good enough. We don't have to put it off for a later time, nor think we have to wait till we have everything together. Now is the time. Say that with me. Now's the time. Today is the day. Say that to yourself. Today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad that God didn't say in his word, you have to wait until June 22nd. And then when June 22nd comes, then you can praise me all you want and I will pour out a blessing. He said, whosoever will, let him come. There is no time frame on that. And the timeline between what is in heaven and what is in earth is the difference of what is a day to 1,000 years, right? And what we count as small in retrospect to how God sees it in his point of view, it is nothing to him because it is so small.